If you have your Bible tonight, just turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. We're just going to take a small reading there, and I'll get my jacket off whenever you are getting your place. It's good to be with you tonight. And Belshazzar wasn't the only man that had his knees knocked together, you know. We can give him a good run for his money at times. And we're trusting the Lord tonight that the Lord will undertake. And whenever you get to Genesis chapter 3, we'll maybe just bow in a moment's prayer and ask the Lord to come and to help us and to speak in the meeting tonight. And just still our hearts before God and just forget everything of tomorrow and everything that we've done today. Father, we just enter your presence again. And Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And Father, you've bidden us to come in the time of need to obtain mercy. And Father, those of us that are in this little meeting tonight that are saved and know what it is to come to the knowledge of the truth, we come, Lord, in behalf of mercy. And Lord, we think of those here tonight that are not saved and are outside the fold. And Lord, we would ask thee tonight that they would taste of the mercy of God. And Father, we ask thee tonight for the conscious sense of God to grip this meeting. Lord, we're conscious that it'll not matter what we say or it'll not matter what we sing, unless the presence of the Lord be with us. And so, Lord, we just surrender this whole meeting to thee. We pray, Lord, that you'll take captive every mind tonight. And Father, we pray that you'll, O God, unleash your word. We know that the Lord himself spoke as one that had authority, and not as the scribes and not as the Pharisees. And Lord, we just pray tonight over your word. We pray that it'll dig deep into some heart tonight. We pray that you'll bring forth fruit. And Father, we know that you're the God of increase. You're the God of the much more. And we pray tonight, Lord, over this little meeting. You know those that are weary. You know those, Lord, that are battling with things in their life. You know those that are cold and no longer going on with thee. And Father, we cry tonight that we'll know what it is to have our hearts strangely warmed. And so, Lord, I come before thee tonight and I ask thee for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and of power. I ask you, Lord, to show me what to say and what not to say. And Lord, we just surrender this whole meeting into your hand tonight. We know unless the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. And so we just ask thee, Lord, as you did with Noah, that you shut him into the ark. We pray that you'll shut us in tonight. And Father, we'll know what it is to see old-time Holy Ghost conviction once again. Laying hold of men and women, oh, where they can't sleep and they can't eat and they can't work unless they get right with God. And Father, we know this is not a work of man, but it's the work of God. And so we surrender and give it all into your hands tonight in the lovely name of your Son. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And we're just turning, we're going to start reading verse 6 and we're just going to read down to verse 11. Well-known passage. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They knew. I was meditating on that just earlier on today. They knew. They didn't have a Bible, they hadn't got a hymn book, but they knew there was something wrong. And I want to ask you before I go on tonight, do you know? Do you know? It says they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And we'll end our reading there tonight. And we know that the Lord will bless his word. I'm sure tonight that there's not a man in Ulster or a woman that wouldn't know some part of this little story that we read tonight. You know, whenever the first nuclear bomb was tested away over in America there in New Mexico, The scientist that was behind it, he was asked by reporters the following day, he said, well, what did you think of the discovery of the nuclear atomic bomb? And it was pasted across the papers of America in 1946, I think it was. He said, the world will never be the same again. And I think if we could ever write a little text over this little passage this evening, it would have to be that same heading. The world will never be the same again. You remember back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, the Lord said to Adam, thou shalt eat of every tree of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge, good and knowledge, that thou shalt not eat. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, you know, he was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And he came and he deceived Eve. And you'll remember how he sowed a little seed of doubt in her mind. He said, has God said? Has God said? And I want to say this tonight, and I'm going to preach a gospel message as simple as I can. But I'm convinced tonight that there's men and women who have came to evangelical churches all of their life, heard the best of the preachers, heard the best sermons. And maybe they go home at times and they say, I'm going to get right with God tonight. I'm going to get down beside my bed and I'm going to ask the Lord to cleanse me and to save me. I'm going to get right with him. And suddenly there's a voice and it says, has God said? Has God said? See, I can think of the serpent saying to Eve, were you there whenever God told Adam that you shouldn't eat of this fruit? You weren't there. You weren't there. And I want to ask you a question, maybe in this little meeting tonight. Maybe there's times as an unsaved man or an unsaved woman, you've went home and you said, tonight's the night where I'm going to get right with God. And the serpent himself comes again and says, has God said, were you there? How do you know that the Lord Jesus died? How do you know that he loved you? How do you know that you're a sinner? Hath God said? He sowed a little seed of doubt. And then he came and he sowed a little seed of deceit. And you'll remember how he said, thou shalt not surely die. You'll not die. And you know, dear friends, and I'm a simple man, and you'll soon get to know that as we preach tonight. But there's one great deception tonight across the world, and the rich people think it, and the poor people think it, that they're never going to die. Never going to die. And you know, some maybe it'll be a Saturday, maybe it'll be a Sunday, maybe it'll be a Monday, but someday, if you're in this little fellowship, someday men and women will gather, and your coffin will be maybe at the front of this hall, and you'll be dead. You're going to die. And the serpent said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. And you know, the word of God tells me, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Die. And here was Eve. We read it in verse 6. It says that she saw that the tree was good for food. And then it was pleasant to the eyes. And then it was to be desired to make one wise. And I'm sure tonight, if you're anything like me, you've seen things in your life and it seemed to be good at the time. And then you took it and it looked pleasant to the eyes. And it was something to be desired. And maybe you reached out your hand and you took it like Eve, and she took of that forbidden fruit and she gave it to her husband Adam. And in that very split second, dear friends, there was a shockwave went down through the corridors of creation that we're still feeling the effect of today, sin. You see, man's habitat has changed. We've got better cars, we've got big cars, we've got nice clothes, we've got big homes. His habitat has changed, but his heart is just the same. It says in the word of God, the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart. And here was Adam and Eve now in the garden. They were taken of the forbidden fruit. The only thing that they weren't allowed to do, and they reached out and they took it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And I want you to come with me just in the moments that we have tonight. And I want you to see this man and his wife. I want us to peer over the hedge into the Garden of Eden tonight. I want to take you far away from Lurgan Baptist. And I want you to stand in the gaze and you see this man and his wife. And they take their first bite of the forbidden fruit. And we read it together tonight. It says, and they saw. They saw. Isn't that what it says in verse 7? Their eyes of them both were open. And I wonder tonight in this little meeting, maybe you're not a believer, and maybe you've never been here before, and maybe you don't even believe the Bible. Maybe you don't even believe there's a God. But I'll tell you this, dear friends, you'll not need to be too smart, and you'll not need to be a theologian to see that there's something wrong with humanity today. You'll not need to look too far on the television or look on the news to see that there's something drastically wrong, and it's not ISIS. And it's not the plagues going around the world, it's sin, dear friends. Sin. And here was a man and his wife, and they didn't have a Bible. And they didn't have the great preaching and the teaching that you do. And they didn't have the great hymns. But there was something in their heart, and they saw. They saw. And I want to say this to you tonight. If you're not saved in this meeting, you can tell me that you don't believe you're a sinner, but deep down in your heart, you know. You know. And as you sit in this meeting tonight, maybe you're unawares to those behind you, aside you, or around you. You see. You see there's things in your life that's not right. You never had to be told how to lie. You never had to be told how to steal. Just like a duck flies and a fish swims, we sin. It's the nature. And here was Adam, and they saw their sin. I want to ask you the question tonight, do you see your sin? Do you see, if you're in this meeting tonight and you've never came to the Lord Jesus and you've never asked Him to cleanse you and to wash you and to forgive you, that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God? You see, they saw their sin. But secondly, it says, and they knew. They knew. Here was a man, and he didn't have to be told. Here was a man, and he didn't have to have a 3-point sermon, and he didn't have to have a track. He knew. He knew. And I'm convinced tonight, and there's been a burden in my heart over this last few weeks, that there's men and women in our province and in our churches, and they've got the suit, and they've got the tie, and they've got the Bible, but they know. They know. That if they were to die before this message is ended tonight, die before they get into the car and go home, die before they wake up and go to work in the morning, they know that they'll be in a lost eternity. They know. And you know. It says they saw. Their eyes were open. And then they knew that they were naked. Aye, but then not only did they see and not only did they know, they hid. They hid. And they sewed fig leaves together. They made these, as we would call them today, man-made gowns, aprons. And I'm going to ask a question to you in this meeting tonight, for I don't know many of you. But I want to know, ask you the question, what apron have you made? What apron have you made? You see, they made an apron of fig leaves. They got the leaves and they sewed them together. Can you see them over the hedge? They know now, their eyes are opened and they see that they're have disobeyed God, and they see that they're naked, they see that they've grieved Him, they see that they need to be covered, and they take fig leaves and they sew them together. Covered. Have you ever seen some man with a dirty wheel in his car and he puts paint over it? And after a while the paint flakes off and the dirt comes out. And here was a man and his wife, and they covered their sin. And then the next passage we read, or the next verse, it says, and Adam, he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the midst, in the cool of the day, in the midst of the garden. He heard a voice. He was standing and he was eating the fruit. He went and he sewed himself leaves, aprons, and sewed them together to cover their nakedness and cover their shame. And suddenly, in the cool of the day, there came a voice. It was unlike any other voice. It wasn't like the voice of his wife. No, it was a still, small voice. A voice. And dear friends, if you're ever to get saved in this meeting tonight or get right with Him, you'll not need to hear my voice. You'll need to hear His voice. His voice. It's a tender voice. It's a gracious voice. and they heard the voice of the Lord. I want to ask you tonight, and you'll hear better preaching than what you're going to hear tonight, but have you ever heard the voice of God? I have. Oh, I remember whenever I was out in the world and the drink and the drugs and all the rest of it, and suddenly one day down Listenski, working in an old house, plumbing, suddenly I heard a voice. It wasn't an audible voice. Never heard a bang, never seen an angel. But there's a voice. And here was Adam, he heard the voice. And he takes to his heels and he starts to run. He runs down through the garden. I can see him and his wife with their man-made gowns and their man-made aprons. And they're running and they're running. Why are they running? It says he said he was afraid. Afraid. He was afraid to meet God. And oh, dear friends, it puts a shiver down my spine as men and women sit maybe in this meeting tonight. And go up and down the street in Lurgan, as sure upon the seat that you're sitting tonight, we're all going to meet God. We're going to meet Him. And I want to ask you a question that's been burning in my heart. Are you ready to meet God? You ready to meet Him? Here is Adam, and he knew, and he ran. And the lovely thing about it, the Lord came in the cool of the day, the evening, and His long suffering and His mercy. And His patience, He waited till near the end of the day. He's been waiting on you for a long time. He's been waiting. And Adam, he runs, and Eve, they run, and they hide themselves among the trees of the garden. And I'm going to picture a few trees tonight, and there's a few plaques on the trees. One of the trees is the tree of good works. You're hiding behind the tree of good works. Oh, but I'm a good person, and I go to Lurgan Baptist, and I'm a decent person, work hard. Afraid to meet God. The tree maybe of religion. Maybe there's a tree of a false profession. Come up through your Sunday school, put up your hand, made a decision. Somebody comes to you and says, well, you see it, but I made a choice 10 years ago. I made a decision 13 years ago, but there's no change in my life. What tree are you hiding behind? What tree? Maybe there's a young man or a young woman and you're hiding behind the tree of pleasure. Juking behind the bushes. Juking. And all the time afraid of God. Well, you don't need to be afraid of me tonight. They were afraid. And I want to just deviate for a little moment tonight. There was a man and he was brought up in the palace and he was by the name of M-O-S-E-S, Moses. You remember how he took a soldier one day and he killed him and he looked this way and he looked that way and he didn't look up. And he hid the soldier in the sand. He hid him in the sand. But then you remember there was a man by the name of Achan, and then whenever they went to Jericho, they took of the Babylonian garments and the wedge of gold. And he hid the gold in the ground. Where are you hiding tonight? Where are you hiding? Maybe you come here just to camouflage your sin. And everybody thinks you're saved. Just like a chameleon, you can hardly spot them at times. But as you sit here tonight, you know if God was to close His hand. And oh, you know the lovely thing about it, Moses hid the soldier in the sand. Achan, he hid the gold in the ground. But dear friends, there's one who can hide our sins in the sea. And I thank God tonight that He's here, where two or three are gathered in my name. Do you want to have your sins hid tonight? They'll never be found again. I want to bring you, just in the closing moments that we have tonight, to this question. And you've all heard it preached on so many years and times before. Where art thou? Mother, where are you tonight? Father, where are you? Young man, where are you tonight? Where art thou? It's a very simple question. It wasn't a big theological question. Where are you? You've all been in school, haven't you? And the teacher's asked you a question. She knows the answer. But she's looking you to find the answer. Well, he knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to realize where he was. And in this meeting in Lurgan Baptist tonight, he knows exactly where you are, but he wants you to realize where you are. Where art thou? If I was to say to you tonight, young man, where are you mentally? Oh, you'd say I'm grand. Where are you financially today? Oh, I'm 100%. Where are you today morally? Oh, I'm doing well. Where are you spiritually tonight? Where art thou? Oh, I can see it. I can see Adam hiding behind the tree in the voice that gets louder and louder. Where are you? Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight in relation to sin? If God in His grace and at the end of the day, whenever you lay your head on the pillow tonight and God closed His hand, where are you tonight? Where are you? I'm not asking you tonight, dear friends, what's your memory of Scripture? I'm asking you tonight, where are you in relation to God? And it's a question that every man in this meeting tonight needs to answer. Where are you, sir? Where are you? Where are you in relation to forgiveness? Where are you in relation to cleansing? Where are you in relation to God and His family? Are you in tonight? Are you in? Are you in? Or are you standing far off? Are you at the door? You remember the old scribe, the Lord said to them, they are not far, not far. Come to Lurgan Baptist for years, not far. Maybe being baptized and in the prayer meeting, not far. Why, you could have been around the table this morning, not far, not far. Where art thou? Oh, I remember, you remember the psalmist, whenever he said, let me quote it to you, whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, behold, thou art there. Where are you then? Where are you? You see, I can't answer the question for you. Your husband can't answer the question. The person beside you can't answer the question. Your children can't answer the question. Where are you tonight? You, mother, where are you? Young man at the back there, where are you tonight? Young woman over here, where are you? Right enough now. Where are you if you were to die tonight? Where are you? Oh, I'm not looking for a profession. I just want to know tonight, where are you? God's asking the question tonight, over 6,000 years later, where are you? Oh, that's a very simple question. Where are you hiding tonight? Where are you hiding? You see, here was Adam, and he took to his heels, man on the run. I wonder, could I say that over Lurgan Baptist tonight? Man on the run. Woman on the run. Last year, it was written in the papers, I don't know if you've seen it or not, there's a man by the name of John Hannon. He had been on the run, and he broke out of a prison in England in 1945. He had been on the run for over 60 years, or 55, 1955. Man on the run, running from God. I tell you, I know all about it, for I did. But the lovely thing about it, God pursues us. And in this little meeting tonight, you know, on words to you, He's pursuing you. Oh, He's not going to let you go. I maybe give up on you, but God will not. Oh, I maybe say that boy's too far gone, but He'll not. There's not a man in Ireland today that's too hard for God. There's not a man or a woman today in Ireland or in Lurgan Baptist or a young person who's too hard for God. Hallelujah. On the run. Man on the run. Secondly, it's not only a very simple question, it's a very searching question. He didn't say, how are you? Well, if I could say, ask you tonight, how are you? You'd maybe give me a list of the length of your elbow of all the problems and ailments. Sore leg, bad knee, sore heads, bad job. He didn't say, how are you? He's not interested in it physically. How are you? Oh, he said, where are you? He didn't even say, who are you? Oh, he's not interested tonight in the big name. He's not interested tonight in your surname. He's not interested in your job tonight. He's not interested in your income. He's interested, where are you? Where? Where are you? If I could turn it around tonight and let me ask you this, where were you? Oh, I could tell you we would get some interesting answers to that question. If I was to ask a few of you men here tonight, where were you last night? I tell you, we'd maybe get a shock. If I was maybe to ask some of you ladies, where were you whenever the man went to work? Where were you? What were you doing? Maybe I was to ask some of you young people here tonight, and you look as clean as a hound's tooth, and I was to ask you, where were you? Where were you this time last week? What were you doing? Oh, where art thou, he said. Where are you? Where are you tonight in relation to sin? Are you in this meeting tonight and you've heard it all and you know it all, and yet tonight you reject the Lord Jesus Christ? And as you sit in this meeting, the weight of your sin is bearing upon you. You're sitting tonight and if we could see it physically, your sin and the guillotine of death is resting over your shoulder tonight. Where are you? Where are you in relation to the Savior? Oh, I tell you, there's one thing I love to talk about, and that's Him. Back to Him, friends. Let's get back to Him. When He had by Himself purged our sins, it's all about Him. And I want to ask you tonight in this meeting, I'm not asking you, have you made a profession, dear friends? I'm not asking you, are you a good person? I'm asking you, have you ever asked the Lord Jesus into your heart to save you and to cleanse you and to make you a new creature? Have you ever done it? Oh, I tell you, dear friends, it's the greatest thing that you'll ever do. It's the greatest thing that you'll ever experience, is to know the new birth, to know your sins forgiven, peace with God and a home in heaven. Hallelujah. Where are you tonight? Where are you? You remember Belshazzar, he was feasting one night. He had all the drink and all the wine and all the women, and there's a hand came writing on the wall. Thou wert weighed in the balances and found wanting. Where are you tonight, sir? Mother, where are you? Maybe you've gone cold. Maybe you're no longer walking with the Lord. You used to know what it was to have a fire in your soul and a passion for prayer, and used to weep in the closet and used to read the Word and used to have an appetite for the things of God tonight, and you went away back into the cold. You're like Lot's wife. You turned and you ran. Where are you? Where are you? Tell me this before I move on. Where will you be? Where will you be? I was walking through a graveyard one day and I come across this epitaph. It's not only a very simple question, you know, it's a very searching question. I tell you, it's a very serious question. The epitaph was this: remember, man, as you go by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. But where? Where are you going to spend eternity? And I tell you, dear friends, I'm not here to scare you. Oh, I hope I don't scare you. But all I'm saying is this, dear friends, I believe one of the greatest plagues in Northern Ireland tonight is there's men and women brought up through fundamental churches. And they know the answer, but they've never got saved. Never born again. Never know what it is to have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse them from all sin. Theologically, they have it, but experientially, they know nothing about it. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Where will you be? You remember a few years ago, and I hope none of you has watched it, but there was a film, and it was released by Hollywood, I think it was, and it was called Final Destination. Tell me this tonight. Where's your final destination going to be? Whenever your heart pumps for the last time and you take your last breath and you take your last gasp, it'll not matter what the singer in the grave, it'll not matter what they write on the headstone, it'll not matter what your friends say about you, but where's your final destination going to be? Heaven or hell? You remember that great ship, the Titanic? First class, second class, third class passengers. You remember whenever she hit that big iceberg and went down. Oh, we preached in it often in the open air. There was only two lists went up in America, and an old office over in America, saved and lost. Oh, dear friends, in Nurgan Baptist, I wondered if we had a list up on that wall tonight. And the hand of God could write it like he did in Belshazzar's day. I wonder whose name would be in the saved line. I wonder whose name tonight would be in the lost. Young man, you're lost. Young woman, you're lost. It's not only am I telling you tonight, Adam, he knew it. And you know it. And not only did he know it, he saw it, dear friends. And then he hid it. Saved. Lost. Where are you? You know, that question was the first question that was ever asked a man by God. Where are you? Davy, where are you tonight? Sarah, where are you? What list are you on? Amy, where are you? Karen, where are you tonight? You know, the first question that was asked in the New Testament, and you'll all know it, was whenever the wise men came in Matthew chapter 3, and they said, where is he? That's lovely. And I want to bring you for a little moment in closing, and I want to talk to you about him. And I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to change it just for a little moment, and I want to ask you, show you, where was he? Where was the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you read John chapter 17, you'll find that he was the eternal Son of the living God. You'll remember how he talked about the glory which he had away in eternity past before the world began. This is him, dear friends, that wants to save you tonight. Where was he? He was in eternity past in heaven with all the glory of his Father. And he left it. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Where was he? Oh, he was in eternity past in the glory with the Father. Where was he? He left it and he stooped and humbled himself and became a man. Where was he? Oh, he walked among the streets of Nazareth. Where was he? You can see him in the carpenter's shop. Where was he? He was healing the lame. He was touching the sick. Where was he? Oh, he was walking through the streets of Judea. Where was he? Oh, one day he was in a garden and he sweat great drops of blood. Where was he? He cried, Father, if it be thy will, if not of thy will be done. Where was he? He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Where was he? Oh, I'll tell you where he was. He was scourged. He was beaten. His hair was plucked from his face. There was a crown of thorns put upon his head. Where was he, dear friends? He was on a cross outside Jerusalem. Why was he there? He was there to save you. Where was he? Oh, I can see him. I can see him, friends. With the nails in his hands and his feet. The spittle running from the face of my dear Savior. The one who he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Where was he? Oh, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Where was he? Oh, where was he? He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Where was he? Oh, he was laid in a tomb. He was laid there wrapped up. Where was he? The stone was rolled over the door. Where was he? On the third day he rose again. Hallelujah. Where was he? Well, you'll remember he appeared to his disciples. Where was he? He went yet back to glory. Where was he? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Where was he? Dear friends, he died for you tonight. He died to save you in this meeting. He bore all your sins and on your sorrows. He made them his very own. Where was he? Where was he? Where is he tonight? Well, you'll remember it says there in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down in the right hand of the majesty in high. Where was he? Where is he? He's standing beside you tonight. You know, Paul said, the Lord is at hand. Where is he? Oh, he's walking the aisle tonight. He's in this meeting. Well, he knows where you are. But do you know? Where is he? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, do you hear his voice tonight? It's the same voice that spoke in the garden. It's the same voice, you know, he spoke to me. He's speaking to you tonight. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Where is he tonight? He's standing at your heart's door. Oh, he knows where you are. But where are you? Friend, I'm telling you tonight, you be honest with God. Where are you? Mother, I say it to you again, where are you? Backslider tonight, where have you gone? Young man, where are you? You know what you need to do tonight? You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I see that you died on the cross to save me. I acknowledge, Lord, that I'm a sinner in the sight of a holy God. There's no tree of religion or works that I can hide behind. There's nothing I can do to conceal my sin. All things are open and naked before the eyes of whom we have to do. Lord, you know all about me tonight. And Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to save me. You know, whenever the Lord died, friends, he died with his arms open. His arms are open tonight in Lurgan Baptist. He says, come unto me. You've been running for long enough, sir. Backslider, you've been running for long enough. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm not here to bribe you. I'm not here to condemn you, dear friends. But there was a day in 2010 where the Lord reached down into the mire and listened to ski. And he put his hand down into an old, filthy, drug-addicted, you could nearly say he was an alcoholic, smoking. And he plucked me as a brand from the burn. But where are you tonight? Let us pray.